Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne, The Athletic's Newcastle United podcast. My name's Taylor Payne and I'm joined by Chris Woff and George Coggan. Chris Woff, how are you this morning, sir?
Wishing I was in Dubai getting the reset that Newcastle United very much need and are having. I feel like I could do with one myself as well. So
Chris Woff needs a reset, ladies and gents. George, how are you? You all right?
No, the reset can wait. This is cup final week. We need to start and end with absolute cast iron positivity. Admittedly, I tried to do the positivity thing at the end of last week as well, and that didn't go very well. But that's not the point. This is cup final week. That doesn't happen very often. The magnificent Newcastle United lasses playing in a cup final this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to that. How are you, Taylor?
I'm okay. I've got cup fever, George. I think.
Cup fever. We've got
a temperature.
Cup fever. Yeah.
Sweating a little bit.
Yeah.
No more so than usual, though, really.
Okay.
But yeah, cup fever. Absolutely.
Come on.
Could that work both ways? Could it be like hangover from the weekend, but also sort of looking forward in a positive way to next weekend? It's like, depends which way you look at cup fever there.
I've got cup diarrhea. That's what
I've got. Cup, it was cup illness. Cup dysentery at the weekend, wasn't it?
It was, and now absolutely. Okay, well, let's bite the bullet then, chaps. What do we think? After our magnificent result at Old Trafford in the Carabao Cup, there seemed to be quite a few people trying to channel the spirit of that evening by implementing the same routine in the hope that it would conjure some sort of magic. Here are the results of George and Chris doing just that. It's the Manchester road trip, part two.
George and I are in George's car. He has pulled into a petrol station, which was more expensive than the previous one he's just driven past, and he's just rolling his eyes at me mentioning this. But we are about to go. Is it a no hope trip, this, George, or are you going there with the same optimism you displayed on the podcast during the week?
No, I'm incredibly optimistic for this moment, and the reason I've stopped at this garage, Chris, is that remember on our last cup road trip we had to hunt down the great taste of Carabao. Do you remember that?
And it was disgusting.
Yeah, it was absolutely fucking revolting. Anyway, so I've come to this garage because I'm trying to hunt down the sweet taste of FA, which is precisely what Newcastle United have won in domestic football since 1955. So here we go. Here's the great taste. I found it. Here's the great taste of FA. Oh, excuse me. That tastes like broken dreams.
There you go. There's optimism crushed already, and we're only a mile away from George's house. So yes, we shall update you later on in our cup odyssey for today as Newcastle United travel to Manchester City.
Let's do this. Come on. Got my ticket. We're standing at the meat counter at T-Bay Services. I mean, of course we are. I mean, I guess this is a slightly personal question, but how erect are you right now?
As erect as you can be, I suppose. Yeah.
What's your favourite meat, Chris?
Haggis.
That's not a meat, actually.
That's not a meat. No, that's a wild animal. Is it?
Lamb, probably.
Lamb. Okay. Have you ever had your cholesterol checked?
Yes. My blood pressure's on the sort of brink of being high, but it's all right. It's just about all right.
All right. And what are you buying today?
I'm buying some haggis and some black pudding. So
right, the healthy option. Okay. Yeah, all systems go. Right then, here we go. I thought we'd had like quite a nice journey together. We've been chatting. We've been eating haggis-based meat products, and you've just said to me, "Oh, I hate the sheer inevitability of days like this." That's not the pep talk that I wanted.
Well, I'll just be honest. I had the same feeling at Stamford Bridge on Monday night, but I've got even more of it now. I hope to be wrong, and I hope
you've got
positive.
You've got to raise your game.
Not all of us have your just natural
bubbly, positivity, yeah.
Bubbly, yeah.
Infectious enthusiasm. Yeah, you're right. I do have that.
Always have done that. I mean, I'm just one of life's natural optimists.
Yeah, well, my score prediction is, unfortunately, 3-0 to Manchester City, so
Christ,
what's yours?
Almighty. It's going to be 2-2. I was here for the 5-0, I was here for the 2-0, missed the 1-0, but law of averages, it has to be a draw. And then Newcastle win on penalties, and then we're through to the semi-finals and going back to Wembley.
Well, wonderful. I've got my report written then.
Yeah. All right, see you in about 9 hours, because we're here about 7 hours early, so see you at midnight.
Toodaloo.
For the background and noise, I'm just in the main bowl of the stadium, the Etihad. Just a few minutes after the teams have been confirmed, and Newcastle United's worst fears of the first supporters have also been put out in print now. So Tino Livramento is unavailable after taking a knock to his ankle. He went over on a Chelsea on Monday's failed a fitness test, and it looks as if Newcastle are going to be playing a back five. So by my calculation, the first time that has happened from the start of a match since Eddie Howe's very first game against Brentford, when he wasn't even on the touchline due to COVID. Dan Byrne looks to be playing wing back for the very first time for Newcastle. He did so at Brighton, but hasn't during his time at Newcastle. And Jacob Murphy potentially on the other flank. Not sure if it's a 5-3-2 or a 5-4-1, but if the lacked optimism previously, I don't think that team sheet is likely to fill any supporters with renewed optimism, put it that way.
Sorry for being slightly out of breath. It's George here, but I suppose it's an apology for Chris too, because I've seen the team news. I'm fucking off back to my car. Yeah, so see you back at home, Chris. Sorry, hope you find some way of getting home. See you later.
Not a silver. It's deflected and it's in. Manchester City played in the patient way. Yes, finds Bernardo Silva as he'll wander into the box again and take on another shot, and it's gone in. Wonder if that one was deflected too. It is Botman who's finished it off for him. Bernardo Silva's been dispossessed. Almiron on the run for Newcastle, and he squares it, and what a chance. Has it gone? Still working. And they've got a corner. Isak just couldn't find a way through.
Well, that was depressingly inevitable, even if it wasn't quite the sort of blow away from Manchester City's point of view as they maybe expected, and some Newcastle fans maybe feared. Two deflected shots, I mean, that's a frustrating thing, that really the game was almost over before Newcastle could really get a foothold in it. And I thought Newcastle had shown some decent moments. They'd pressed high at the right time. The change to the back five, it wasn't negative in the sense that Newcastle didn't play so negatively early on. But the two deflected shots, first off Byrne, second off Botman, sort of took the stuffing out of them a little bit. And if Alexander Isak takes a first half chance, which was saved well by Ortega, maybe things are different. But Newcastle only actually managed two shots on goal. Alexander Isak had another opening in the second half where he didn't make the right decision with his feet, and that was just a frustrating thing. Newcastle didn't offer enough of a threat. Man City almost took their foot off the gas second half, and you feel they really could have upped the ante if they needed to. This was unfortunately what we expected, that Newcastle would be out of the FA Cup at this stage, and now they fly to Dubai immediately after this match, and Eddie Howe will hope that the warm weather training camp there brings an uptick in form as it has done each of the past two seasons, because they desperately need that, A, to make sure the season doesn't peter out completely, and B, to secure European football for next season. But signing off from the Etihad, where my aggregate score now is 27-3 here as a visiting journalist.
Walking back to the car now in the Manchester drizzle, which feels appropriate. I am feeling disappointed, but it's that, not the disappointment that I anticipated, but the disappointment of bad luck, and that just sort of unremitting bad luck that Newcastle have had this season, whether it's injuries, whether it's cup draws, whether it's the suspension of Tonali, all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's not like violin territory this, but I just feel that
you know, the manner of those two goals that we've conceded today, two big deflections, it's just very, very difficult from that point. If I have a sense of pleasure, it was being in the away end and the noise rousing and rising in the second half and being very loud and very defiant. But I don't think Newcastle shot themselves in the foot today. I just think it was, you know, it was just very unlucky and you can't come back from that. I do feel pleased that the score wasn't worse. I feel that City could have probably gone up about another 10 gears if they needed to, though. So it's just been the story of the season. Like, there's just been no let up and no luck.
Here he is, Mr. Joy, Mr. Bundle of Joy. How are you feeling? Quite wet by the look of you.
Wet, yeah.
Happy?
Fed up.
Oh, okay, so fed up, right. You fed up because my score prediction came true?
Your score prediction? You said they were going to
draw
and then went on practice.
Yeah, but you take away the two deflected goals, Newcastle drew 0-0.
It's a fair point. You should get on the FA and see it, but that's how it should be.
I think this is how FA Cup ties should be determined in future. Yes, how did it look from where you were? Is he going to get back in? Oh, yeah, he's going back in.
You're actually recording this.
I'm recording this, yeah. I thought I'd catch the noise of doors opening and closing. Windows. Ooh, doors of the season opening and closing. Windows closing. Opportunities closing.
I mean, unfortunately, that was just everything we expected it to be.
Was it?
Well, it was in the sense that after the first goal went in and said, this is almost a waste of time and everyone may as well just go home. And the second half was largely a waste of time.
I sort
all of sing out the game and then Newcastle offered nothing really.
Yeah, so. I've said, like, Man City had about another 50 gears to go up, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they could have done. I thought there was a bit of impetus when the subs came on in the second half. I mean, I thought the change of formation, I don't think that was necessarily a failure. And can you really judge those goals? I mean, I know people are saying that defenders stood off. I think that's quite difficult not to do against their players because they're so good. But it was just two massive deflections. What are you going to do? I mean, is it not just the story of the season in so many ways?
I think it is, and I don't disagree. I thought that the formation posed a few interesting questions for Man City. I mean, Howe said there that as soon as the draw was made, he'd already decided that was going to be the way that he was going to play because they've played him so often this season, he wanted to try something a bit different. It was just the fact that regardless of what they do, there's just a massive gulf between the sides. And we knew that
Wasn't
having to go with that at this Newcastle side necessarily, but it just feels like it's rinse and repeat in terms of coming here. It's the same thing you see. It wasn't like they were massively outplayed in terms of Man City didn't have an absolute hatful of chances they had previously.
No.
But also, aside from Alexander Isak having one good chance, which maybe should have done better with, and also fumbling the ball, Newcastle didn't look like scoring either.
No, they didn't. I mean, the thing is, this has just saved us more heartache, because if we'd won this game, we would then have like drawn Jesus Christ's All-Star 11 in the next round. So we've been spared that. That's good news, isn't it?
It is, yes. Although, at the same time, it would have been a trip to Wembley for everyone. So
yeah, true. Okay, well, I suppose, like, the big question from this point is where do we go from here? I'm going to answer that because it's traffic and the M6. Oh, yes. Look what I have found. Look what I have found. Christopher. Look what I found. Right, look at this. I've got some other things. Some chocolate. Oh, shit. Right, I've got some chocolate. Right, don't say what it is yet.
Oh,
right.
Wow. Well.
Okay, but this is important. We're at a service station. I don't know exactly where we are. We're somewhere on the A1. Please tell everyone what I've found.
Well, you found a can of Carabao Mango Burst.
Right, Carabao. It's not about the FA, Chris, is it? Because FA stands for fuck all. That's what Newcastle have won again. So it's all about Carabao. So let's crack this open. Let's look to the future. And let's just... Right, oh, that sounds good. Right, okay. Have a little taste. What's that taste like?
Master's appointment.
No, it doesn't. Come on, Chris. This is the future. Let me have a taste. That tastes like the sweet taste of success, Chris. It tastes like next season. Come on, be positive.
Oh, there we go. I mean, I'm going to be honest. As much as I enjoyed listening to that, and I really did, it probably was because there was very little football involved in it, George.
Yeah, I mean, a bit like for Newcastle United at the Etihad Stadium, very little football took place.
Yeah. Quite a lot of meat chat, which I'm quite...
There's a lot of meat chat, yeah. I mean, that's inevitable when you spend any time in a car with Chris because he's constantly having to top up his meat levels. I am quite fearful of Chris. I mean, I also do...
Fearful of me?
Yeah, I'm fearful of
him. Fearful of Chris's digestive system. I just... Oh, God. He does need regular top-ups of meat. And for a large portion of that journey, after we'd been to T-Bay, there was just like a pile of meat at his feet in the well of the front seat. There was black pudding, there was haggis, just sort of sitting there. It was almost like he had to kind of keep looking down and reassuring himself that if it came to an emergency, there would be supplies on hand. Yeah, more meat chat than football chat, but yeah, that was the way of things, sadly.
The blood levels in his mint system were getting a bit too high, weren't they? That's part of the issue. How were you, Chris? Did you enjoy yourself? I mean, apart from the football, obviously.
I mean, it was a fun road trip on the way there. I mean, it's never that fun working on the way back, and I didn't really have any inspiration whatsoever as to what to write. It was the shit. I mentioned it on the road trip itself. It was just the fact that it felt like once Bernardo Silva's goal deflected in, it's like, what is the point in any of us being here? We may as well all just go home now. And that's what I was just like, I've got to sit here for the rest of this game. I've got to go through all the rigmarole of that. And that sounds, and I realise there'll be people going, oh, well, you're in the stadium, you know, you're being ungrateful and stuff. It's just like, I've been in that stadium so many times. And as I said on that as well, my aggregate score is 27-3.
It's impressive, that is really impressive.
It's impressive. So... Yeah, it just felt like a waste of time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't quite agree, though. I know I said this on the road trip. I don't quite agree. My sense of sort of disappointment or annoyance, whatever, is that sort of Newcastle never had a chance. I'm not trying to say that it was only bad luck that sort of undermined them at all, because, as I say, you know, you had that feeling all the way through that City could go up another few gears if they had to. I mean, I really do think that. But my sort of disappointment was that, you know, that inevitability, if that's the right word, was sort of handed to Man City by those deflected goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were some decent signs around that, I thought, albeit Newcastle didn't have much of the ball. But it was that second goal was just kind of like really deflating, because it's like, they don't need any help. They're the best team in the world.
Exactly,
and, yeah, they got given that help.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'd eat orchid.
The dust has settled, though, hasn't it, Chris? And is there any significant changes to your initial reaction after full time, or are you still feeling the same?
No, I still feel the same. I mean, I don't necessarily share the anger that maybe some people have shown with the exit. It was as soon as the draw was made, this is very much what I expected, and it was almost a case of damned if he did, damned if he didn't, Freddie Howe, and that sounds very defeatist, and that
to a degree, I am quite defeatist about it. I think very few teams would have gone there and been able to really yeah. disrupt a Man City side whose home record is absolutely phenomenal. And that in reality, they didn't get out of second gear, really, certainly second half, they really stepped off it and didn't need to. But he changed the system, he moved to, you can call it being more defensive, and to a degree, it sort of was. And I had conversations with a couple of other fans who were like, he should have gone and had a go. And I don't disagree, because Newcastle only had two shots, which I think is the fewest they've had in a game since 2015. But at the same time, if he'd gone there, had a go, and Newcastle get beat 6-0, then everyone's like, why?
Yeah.
They've just as open as they have been in recent weeks and recent months. So, as I say, I think he was damned if he did, damned if he didn't to a certain degree. It was just that. That's what my frustration with the whole weekend is. It's just the sheer inevitability of the whole thing, where it just feels pointless. It didn't feel like a game Newcastle were ever going to go and win. And there are so many factors behind that, but that's why, for me, it's just sort of deflation just with the how expected it was.
Chris mentioned the system there, George. Five at the back, a little bit of a switch up. The first time you've seen Eddie Howe deploy that since, his first game in charge, and he wasn't there either.
Just to jump in, that's another reason I'm sort of a bit down this morning. I was incorrect on that. I've checked
this
back
is
and
why
he actually played it once.
When
one
I use
other
Chris
time,
Woff as my research, I get completely screwed
yeah, exactly.
up.
Exactly. Well, there's your issue. He did use it one other time at Chelsea in his first season, but it's the first time he's used it in more than, well, nearly 2 years. So.
Thank you for that, Chris. Any letters of grumpiness, send them straight to Chris Woff.
Send them to me, yeah, send them to me.
You know, we're all, you know, intensity used to be your identity, and, you know, you're suffering from injury and loss of form. You've not had much sleep in the past few days, I know that, at home. So, you know, you're allowed a little dip. We'll go again, okay? We'll go again. Have a nice little break. You're having some time off now. So, because 6 months last year wasn't enough. So, so that's fine. I thought the formation change, this is exactly what we were talking about last week. You know, trying to find a way of maximising your strengths and minimising your weaknesses. And I think, again, it's very difficult to draw massive conclusions from it because of the way those goals were conceded. But I think that was the right thing to do. I mean, I think trying to pose a problem or trying to give Man City a different set of problems to contend with, attempting to protect your defence, which we know has been conceding goals for fun. I really am not like holding this up as a positive, because Newcastle lost and are out, and that's all that counts. But, you know, they have been conceding three goals or more in kind of game after game after game. They didn't do that against the best team in the world. So that's sort of one thing. To widen this point out very, very briefly, I'm writing something at the moment about faith, because it was brilliant being in the away end. It was a great away end. It did, in terms of noise, it did dip after the second goal, quite understandably, but then roused itself again in the second half, and those subs came on and they did inject life into the crowd and into the team. And, there was that sort of very familiar sight at the end of the match of, in this case, almost 8,000 Newcastle fans applauding the team, singing for the team, being applauded back. And it's the first time in a little while that I've actually thought to myself, when Newcastle have a team as good as the fans, we'll be okay. Because we've not had to think like that for a long time, because for 2 years the team has reflected the fans. They've played with the noise that fans generate, and there's been this sort of absolute closeness between the two parts of the club, between every part of the club. And it was the first time for a while that you're actually thinking that faith that the crowd showed is sort of needed now, because 12 months ago we were talking about a team and a club that could only get bigger and better and stronger, and 12 months on, I'm not sure that's been the case. So that's something that I'm writing about at the minute. I think that was sort of quite an interesting moment.
The change of system was something that Howe, and I've mentioned in previous weeks, is something Newcastle have trained with, and he sort of resisted the temptation to do it. Now, it wasn't just his first game that he did start with. He has changed within matches as well, and obviously there was that Chelsea game away towards the end of his first season. But in general, he hasn't. He's opted not to switch to a back five, even when things have looked like they're going wrong in recent weeks defensively. And he's changed within matches. He did in the second half against Villa, but hasn't from the start. Now, I don't see this as being a system which he's likely to use a lot between now and the end of the season, primarily because Newcastle don't have that many of the big teams remaining to play away from home. And I think Howe does deep down see it as quite a negative system to try and at least negate the opposition to a certain degree. I think the question that a lot of supporters had, and I sort of get, is to change the system, why didn't you also change some of the personnel? Because you had Dan Byrne playing as a left wing back, which he did at Brighton, but he's never done that for Newcastle before, primarily because Newcastle haven't played that system, but also he obviously isn't an absolute natural in that role. On the other side, you had Jacob Murphy, who I thought had a decent enough game, actually, in a relative sense.
Yeah.
He has played right wing back for Newcastle before, but that was pre-Howe as well. People look at it and Lewis Hall came on and Elliot Anderson and Lewis Miley came on, and all of them looked decent. And I'm not trying to, by any means, undermine what they actually did when they came on the pitch, but I think that they did bring a freshness to the game, but also Man City had stopped playing by that stage. I think, and this is just supposition, but I think part of the reason why Howe didn't make loads of changes to the 11 itself is because he doesn't intend to use that system regularly. So he'd rather stick with the same personnel he's likely to keep playing with, and he just adapted for that one match. Now, you can argue the rights and wrongs of that, but that is the way that I would look at that, because it didn't, when you immediately saw the team sheet, and obviously Tino Livramento's out injured, which is the big downer, that was the, this just doesn't quite feel right as a lineup.
I think very, very quickly on that point in the substitutes, I mean, there definitely was an uptick in terms of energy. Now, that's what you want from your subs, and that's what you want from Newcastle subs. I think there's also just that point to make that they spent so long chasing the ball, that team that started the match. They were knackered by that point, and you would hope in those circumstances that replacements would come on and add energy. That's the whole idea. I think the fact that there was positivity about that is, though, a good thing. Like Chris, I'm not like trying to draw, I don't think the fact that Lewis Hall came on and looked okay means that he should have been playing every game week in, week out earlier this season, because I don't think that's the case at all. However, the fact that he's come on, the fact that Lewis Miley came on and improve the team are both good things, and they should between now and the rest of the season, hopefully they'll be used, hopefully they'll be needed, and hopefully they at least will have an injection of confidence from that, because it's going to be a big few games for Newcastle.
The puzzling thing about Lewis Hall is he's only played three times in 2024, coming off the bench against Liverpool, Manchester City, and Manchester City, which in itself is pretty bizarre.
Oh, it's tough for him.
Yeah.
Keeping him for the big games, Chris. We said this last week. Keeping him for the big games, holding him back. You can't unleash him against lesser opposition. You've got to keep him for the big boys.
Just briefly on Lewis Hall, I know we've talked about his situation a lot. I mean, Chris has never asked Eddie Howe a single question about him, as we know, and it's a source of disgrace. But they've always thought that there's a player in there, and he is young, and people don't adapt necessarily at the same rate of pace. There's a real talent there, and they're confident that they can get it out of him. It's been very frustrating, I'm sure, for him, certainly for fans, and for people on the coaching staff, that it's not happened more quickly. But there's a good player there, and hopefully that was the start of something a bit more positive for him.
Yes, fingers crossed. Eddie's squad now already in Dubai, apparently. This has been a helpful break, hasn't it, in the last couple of years, Chris? We could do with a real surge in those last 10 games. To be fair, though, we are only 4 points off seventh as it stands.
Yeah, it's a very congested mid-table, and that shows really the inconsistency of all of those sides in that sort of position. Chelsea can go ahead of Newcastle if they win the game in hand. You've got Wolves in and around there. There's a lot of teams who, Fulham aren't that far behind Newcastle now either, after beating Spurs at the weekend. So there's a lot of teams who are get surprise positive results, then get a surprise negative, or draw a game you don't necessarily expect them to. And that's where Newcastle have been over the course of the last sort of 3 months. But they need a decent run of form between now and the end of the season to make sure they get top seven. Eighth might be enough for European football. Again, I'm still checking the exact ramifications of that one. But at this moment in time, and I said this to you a few weeks ago, and then when Newcastle went and beat Wolves, you sort of took the piss a little bit. But you can't say with any sort of certainty that Newcastle are going to go and win when they've got West Ham and Everton, two absolutely massive games, immediately within 4 days of each other, immediately after the international break. And you can't say with any certainty they're going to win both of those matches. They're capable of winning both those matches. And if they start well against West Ham, you can see them going on a bit of a run. But you've mentioned the last couple of seasons, Newcastle have been to Dubai, they've been to Saudi Arabia for mid-season training camps, and they've tended to come back from those in refreshed and looking strong. And they definitely need that this time around. Unfortunately, the squad is massively depleted in terms of actual senior first-team players, because a lot of them are away in a national break. But the remainder of them, hopefully they're able to work on a few things in training, but also the part of it is a sort of break and a little bit of a mental refresh after what has been a very, very draining season so far.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle, we have to remember, are in pretty uncharted territory this season. I think they've already played 42 games. It's something like that. They're going to get to the 50 mark. One of the difficult things about this season has been those cup draws. There's been no let-up, either being away from home or the calibre of the opponent or both. And apart from sort of going back to the sort of the early games in the League Cup where Howe did switch things around, albeit against very difficult opponents, there's been no game where he's been able to switch off and sort of not switch off. What do I mean? What's the word I'm looking for? Where he's been able to sort of, you know, have a free hit, you know, where you have a game against sort of lower league opposition. Because by the time the Sunderland game comes around, by the time the Blackburn game comes around, he absolutely had to win those matches. There's just been no let up in terms of that. Now, there's no benefit to going out of the cups, but only having one single focus, I think that's something that Newcastle are used to having. You know, they in the first season, it was about staying up. The second season, yes, okay, there was the cup final and rebounding from that. And then it was about getting into the Champions League. There's now one focus. I think that's sort of, you know, that's when Newcastle have often been at their best. And we just have to hope that players come through international duty, that there are no more sort of injuries in training, that people kind of come back. And it's just that sense of focus. You know, I think Newcastle are good at that. This has been the first time that Howe and that a load of players have had progress on four fronts. It's all right. There was no full stop coming in that. That was a sentence that was. It was a soliloquy that was going to go on forever. That
to sort of finish off his sentence for you.
Thank you.
To gain
that's
look,
teamwork.
Look at the
team. Finishing each other's sentences now. That's the point we've got to with you two, isn't it? Like an old married couple. Bless you.
Look at the team Newcastle started with on Saturday. Still half of them were pre-takeover players, and then also, in terms of the actual, all the players who actually were on the pitch at any point, only one of them, and that was Lewis Hall, was a summer signing from last summer. And that's the situation they're in again, is that that team is not materially better than it was on the field last season in terms of personnel they'll be able to have on there.
Yeah, and that other thing, in terms of the starting 11, Anthony Gordon's the only player that had signed after the summer of 2022, I think I'm right in saying. And so that is a... You know, we know the context for that. The context for that has been injuries, suspensions. The context for that has also been whether their work in the transfer window was good work, the right work that was at the time. And yeah, that's part of the point that I was making before about whether 12 months on, Newcastle had actually got better as a club, better as a team. You know, Dan Ashworth's on gardening leave. Still a lot of questions around the club. I mean, for me, that's not about, when I talked about faith, it's not about faith wavering. But it is about, it's not perhaps going to be as easy as it was, or straightforward, or as linear as we thought it would be a year ago. I talked about that so much. You know, a year ago, I was saying, I don't care if we win or lose, because I know that we're going to be bigger and better and stronger. And that feeling is a really powerful one going into matches.
Yeah.
I think 12 months on from that, I do realise that winning is quite important, actually. And
so you're basically admitting you're wrong. What you're saying is
I don't think I'm wrong. I mean, I think the fact that the fact that there is the ownership and the team and all that stuff connected to the club, it only points in one way. But that way is not, I mean, you know, things that are different from 12 months, well, PSR, FFP, that's tightened, that's hardened.
This is it, yeah.
And the trajectory is only headed in one way, but I think it's going to be far more problematic and difficult than we might have thought a year ago. But a year ago, last season was an incredible season. It was a one-off. I mean, Newcastle had no right to go from a relegation battle to fourth in the table to the cup final. And in some ways it spoilt us, because it was just that sense of magic. There have been so many great moments this season, but it's been a struggle. And we know that the system doesn't allow Newcastle to strengthen in the way that they have the ability to do. But yeah, no, I mean, as I say, that faith is absolutely still there, but it's also it's also needed, because, as I say, the last year has not been as we thought it might be.
I think there maybe needs to be a little bit of a recalibration of things as well. You know, when City were taking over, it took them 5 years to win the league, and it took them 3 years to win a cup, and that was without FFP and PSR and all of these associated party sponsorship rules and all this sort of stuff. You know, it is going to take time. And I think fans are going to need to realise that it's not a straight line. It isn't going to be easy to get from where we are to where we want to be. There is going to be knocks and there's going to be bumps along the way. And we just have to accept this. But the club is essentially heading in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, again, I don't mean this to be happy clapper, but a couple of years ago, the idea of getting to one quarterfinal would have been a source of amazement. Newcastle have competed in the League Cup, should have gone through to the semi-final in the League Cup, in my opinion. They've competed in the FA Cup. They've competed in the Champions League. They were, what, 20 minutes, half an hour away from getting through to the next round. They should have stayed in Europe, in my opinion. And all of those things should be a source of positivity. And the fact is, just to repeat, it's the first time we've done this. We've done it. It's the first time we've done it as a fan base. It's the first time the coaching staff have done it. It's the first time a lot of the players have gone through all this. And if, as you hope and expect, we learn from it, then that will make us stronger. I mean, if we don't come out of this season stronger, that would be a real disappointment, because it's test. I mean, it should have this season has, should have battle hardened the club in lots of ways. It was magical for the first 18 months. This has been a slog, but you know, we should learn so many valuable things from it about coping, about resources, about squad strength, about recovery, about rest, about preparation. There's just so, and for us as fans, it's like, yeah, maybe next time we go to Milan, let's not spend all day getting pissed mortal. Let's save some of our energy for when the match actually kicks off. I mean, that is a absolutely forlorn hope, because we will go and get pissed again.
Chris, that Man United game is going to have to be rearranged now after they went through, and then they got Coventry in the draw for the semi-finals as well. I think it looks like it's going to be a Manchester final, doesn't it? If City put Chelsea to the sword, I think that'll be it. Another Manchester final. Makes you a bit sick, doesn't it? Makes you feel a bit peaky and a bit bilious.
It does. After Chelsea got Borough as well in the Carabao Cup semi-final, obviously having knocked out Newcastle and then Man City. I mean, the difference with this one is, I mean, nobody really expect... Newcastle should have got through against Chelsea. Nobody expected them to get through against Man City in the FA Cup. It is galling in many ways. But yeah, they've got two fixtures. Newcastle now need to be rescheduled, because the Palace game, which was meant to be the weekend that's just gone and was moved for the Man City quarter-final, those two games are going to have to be fitted in somewhere. And Newcastle will hope that it's at a kind sort of time for them when they are building a momentum and they can have both of those matches at a time where it will suit them. But yeah, at least it wasn't the usual that Newcastle had about four weekends free by this stage already of the season, as they were during most of the Mike Ashley era, because they were out in the third round of the FA Cup. That's the small solace I'll take from that.
Well, yeah, no, that idea of soul searching in the first weekend of January, I mean, like, so what is the point? I mean, at least we've saved that now to the middle of March. I mean, that's all right, isn't it? That's an improvement.
That's fair enough. Right, let's have a quick break, chaps, and we'll be back in just a minute to talk about an unbelievable game for Newcastle United lasses.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
We can beat you and we are going to win.
So the Lasses' incredible season took another twist this weekend away at Wolves. They were 2-0 down at half-time, but a triple substitution led to a resurgent second half, which saw them mount an incredible comeback and maintain their title momentum. Bruising opposition, Wolves caused us real problems in that first half. Two smart finishes from Amber Hughes had them two up. George, it all looked like it was going a bit pear-shaped, didn't it?
Yeah, by all accounts, that was a really poor first half from Newcastle. I mean, that's not something we've had to say very often this season. But as you say, three changes at half-time, including Amber Keegan, our mate, who I know had been struggling last week with a bit of a chest infection. She comes on, others come on, and it's just a totally different story. They were incredible in that second half from what I've seen. And jeebus, what a comeback that was.
Unbelievable. Yeah, substitute Casey Elson started the renaissance and three Northeasterners on the score sheet. Jazz McQuaid at it again and the diminutive Katie Barker getting the winner with her head. That was an unbelievable header. I'm sorry, but that was incredible.
It was brilliant.
It was beautiful. The header was amazing. Prime Shearer.
It was absolutely brilliant. Well, Shearer was Katie's hero, as we know, yeah, from hearing from her on the pod earlier this season. She made the first goal as well, I think. Yes. I think I'm right in saying. And she's brilliant.
Yes, she did.
I love the way Katie plays. She's gone out wide this season. But that hunger and drive to get her team back into it was brilliant. But yeah, three local players. They needed to draw on them, didn't they? But just fabulous.
But it's also that belief that team has.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
In terms of the spirit. Yeah. The spirit, they did have a difficult first half, but there's still that, right, we can still make this right. We can still go and find the win. And that's when a team is top of the league, when they are in such good form, and when they've bounced back from 6 weeks ago when they had those couple of difficult results. Since then, they've just picked up again, and they don't know when they're defeated, really.
That was exactly something that we talked to Amber about, wasn't it, when she was on the pod? It's about that difference. Like when Newcastle concede a goal, albeit at Man City, the first response from us is, fuck, that's gone. Yeah. And if we didn't already have that feeling as we got there, which Chris, with his little black cloud of rain that follows him everywhere he goes, obviously did. But with the women's team, it's the absolute opposite. They concede a goal and it's like, well, that doesn't matter, you know. But that is an extreme because it was a very, very difficult position. But yeah, get one back and then there'll be a sense of inevitability about it, you know, that they'll get another and then another. But it's easier said than done. It's just so brilliant watching them at the minute.
My favourite thing of all of it, I watched the highlights this morning, and when the third goal goes in, Becky Langley runs and celebrates with the group of players. She then turns around and walks back to the dugout and quite clearly mouths, fucking come on, and then checks herself and then goes back to professional Becky Langley that we all know and love. Ham-fisted maths update. Here we go. 7 points needed from four games to win the league and seal back-to-back promotions. Great time to have such an uplifting victory with the cup final coming up this Saturday as well, George.
Yeah, I mean, they're 12 points clear at the minute. So, albeit Forest have a couple of games in hand, but it puts massive pressure on Forest to win those games. It's just a brilliant position to win. I don't want to, you know, don't want to be booking the coach parade. We don't want to start booking the party or anything like that. But it does feel like it's inevitable now. I'm sure Becky won't allow that thought to creep in with the players. But, I mean, you know, back-to-back promotions would just be an astonishing achievement. And then, you know, the great thing, half-time in that game at Wolves, you're thinking, you know, they've got one eye on the cup final. And, you know, they've allowed standards to slip because of that. But no, not a bit of it. And now, Jesus, the momentum that will take them to Kenilworth Road at the weekend is just brilliant. And, yeah, we started with that bit of optimism. We've had, you know, Man City was deflating in lots of ways. But a Newcastle United team is in a cup final this weekend. They deserve it. They've been an absolute credit to the club. They're a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant story. And the idea that they could become the first Newcastle team to win some silverware post-takeover, I do think is very powerful and, you know, would be symbolic. I'm going, Ollie's going, our producer. Jacob is going. Really just, yeah, can't wait for it. Yeah. Can't wait
if
for
you
it.
Are feeling a little bit deflated about the men's team, please, please check out the lasses because they are pure, undiluted joy at the minute. They are so positive.
Absolutely.
And great to watch. Thanks to two correspondents from the US of A as well. Josh from the Philly Toon Army is travelling over for the FAWNL Cup Final and very much looking forward to it. George, your brother Josh?
My brother Josh, yeah. He is my unofficial Philly brother. But that's very exciting. Yeah, of course, met him and loads of others on Newcastle's pre-season tour. And that was a lovely moment that we had. And I'm just so excited that that Josh is going to be there. So between Ollie and I, we'll make sure we record some of that. But yeah, Josh, I have emailed you, so please reply. It's very rude to ignore your brother like this.
Family, George. This is it with family, isn't it? You never know.
Absolutely. But yeah, can't wait to see Josh and plenty of other Newcastle fans too.
And thanks also to Keith Kern, self-styled biggest Pod on the Town fan in Frederick County, Maryland. He was concerned about Chris's return dragging down the form of Eddie Howe's geeky knackered mags. He points out, Chris, that we've been shite since you came back.
Well, that's not entirely true. I mean, there was a month period where, from the start of November till the start of December, Newcastle were very good, and then seemingly I went around and injured.
That was the handover period, Newcastle United Chris, players, the handover
period. I brought a bit of intensity back at a time Newcastle didn't need it, and it pushed them over the edge. And then since then, it's gone downhill rapidly. And unfortunately, what I would say though is, because there's another point which you're going to read out in the run note, and I'm just going to preempt that by saying that George is going to this cup final. How many cup finals have you been in attendance that Newcastle United have lost, George?
Well, hang on. There's been, not including the 70s, the League Cup final. Three, isn't it? FA Cup final in 98, 99.
I assume you were at Wembley semi-final in 2000. I assume you also at the Cardiff semi-final in 2005.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
Six. I'm just going to rest my case there. So
yeah, that's fine. I think there is something that sort of quite interesting happened since this podcast started. I've gone from the cynical, I've gone from the old and cynical one.
It's switched, hasn't it?
To the old and slightly more positive one. I mean, when I say it out loud, it's maybe not that dramatic. but Chris, I mean, I think Chris, Chris maybe wasn't rampant positivity, but he had that sort of positivity of youth. And I think fatherhood has broken him. I mean, his 6 months away definitely broke me, but fatherhood has broken him. And I'm sort of quite pleased about that in some ways, because he is every bit as cynical as a man should be, I feel. And it's just quite an interesting switch, though, that I'm now the only positive one.
Yes, the juxtaposition is very stark, isn't it? The good news for Keith is that Jacob will be attending the Women's Cup final with George and Ollie, and he'll be on the show next week, so that should negate any potential Chris-related hex. So that's just about it, chaps. We should have been on a little 10-day break now, with there being an international break next weekend. But if there is any cup magnificence in the air, there may be a little bonus pod between now and then. So keep your eyes peeled for that in your podcast feeds. Thank you very much, Chris, for your time.
Well, I am going on it's not a 10-day break, and I'm not actually going anywhere, but I am going to go and lie down for the next week and just try and reset, ready for the run, to make sure I'm ready for Newcastle's glorious end to the season. They've got optimism now. That's what's going to happen.
The race for seventh place is on, Chris, isn't it?
10 games left, 10 victories, yeah.
Okay, so in the past, like the race for seventh or the race for eighth or race for ninth, that was like a joke amongst Newcastle fans sort of back in the Alan Pardew days. But actually getting back into Europe would make this a good and decent season, so let's hope that can happen. I think it still can, particularly with Newcastle's running.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, George.
You're very welcome.
Get in touch at Pod on the Tyne on Twitter or X, and email us at podonthetyne@theathletic.com. As always, thank you all out there for listening as well. From everybody at Pod on the Tyne, take care. Bye-bye.
The Athletic.